Kolatarakula.
Maybe a handful, who knows, maybe there's Yechidei Skula are able to do it once a year, finish Kol HaTorah, you know, take a Chaim Neretz Yisrael, okay, he can master it, right? Yechidei, but what about us, right? How can I be Mesamech with the Torah? How can I make a Sima Torah, right? You're telling me where Simchas Torah is a Sima Torah? I didn't finish the Torah. I mean, I'm ashamed to say it, but I mean, it's true. You know what I'm saying? What?
But if your relative makes a Simcha, you come to the
That's true, too.
In the
you're 100% correct. I'm not going to argue on that point. But I'll tell you what the Rashida said. He said a fantastic word. He said that Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shlomo HaMelech, he said, I'm going to give you whatever you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Kaviyachol took out his checkbook, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm giving you a blank check. Go fill in any amount, whatever you want. It's all yours, right? So Shlomo HaMelech said, what do you think he wrote? He didn't even look at the check, so to speak. And he wasn't interested in money, right? Even though he did have wealth because he was a melech, right? But that's not the issue. The issue is, he said, what I want is a lev shomea. I want a heart that listens. Listens to who? Listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what I want. If you can give me that, then I can have everything. I don't need anything else, right? So the Rashida explained like this. He said, it's true. Most of us don't finish the Torah. It's impossible. You're going to go through Shas, through Bavli, Rishalmi, learn it B'ian the way you're supposed to, Rashi, everything, right? I mean, how much time does a person have in this world? Well, we should have 120 years, even more. We need more, probably, to, you know, the very few people can actually master Kol HaTorah Kula. And they are the Yechidei Skula. We call them the Gedolei Yisrael, right? Like a person like, you know, the in our generation that we... we get Rabbi Aaron Cutler, that's all, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Avraham Kamenetsky. These are people in our which we were close to, right? And then you have, of course, you have the Chafetz Chaim, you had other... I can go through a whole list, you know? But it's... So we don't really... So where do we have the right to go and be Mesameach with the Torah? Where do we go? It's where did we finish? Where is the Siyam HaTorah as far as we're concerned?
The Mikra.
Well, the Shtayim Mikra, right.
That was,
yeah.
No, yeah.
Right,
that,
right.
Or even without Shtayim, even once when we hear it at Shul.
Right.
We go through
I understand what you're saying. That's true. But it's not Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not Shas, Bavli, Rishonim, Achronim. We don't have the time. We just don't have the time.
Anshei Midbar didn't go through Shas and Bavli.
But they learned, they were able to hear, understand Kol HaTorah Kula through Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay?
Yeah.
So the teretz is, if a person has a lev shemeya, and all he learned in his whole life was a pasuk chumash, he can make a siyam ha-teira. That's called making a siyam ha-teira. So we have a right to make a siyam ha-teira. We have a right to be mesameach ha-teira, because we want a lev shemeya. Even though we don't understand everything, we know we can't accomplish everything. There's just not the time for it. We don't have the time. We don't have the ability. And that has nothing to do if you're a masmid or you're not a masmid. We just don't have it. It's just not there for us, for every single person, right? But if you have a lev shemeya, she say you can make a siyam ha-teira, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts your siyam ha-teira. You are mesayim teira with that lev shemeya, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech taught us. That's what he showed us. He said, "I want a lev shemeya. That's on you. If I have that, I have everything. I don't need anything else. I'm fine." And that's what we just went through. We went through holy days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is called the Yom Neroim, all the way through Simchas Torah, even though Simchas Torah called Iregel Biatzmo, right? Iregel by itself, it's a Yontif by itself, but it's still part of the Yom Neroim. Why is it part of the Yom Neroim? Because that's the way it was set up. Because really, Simchas Torah, Shemina or Shemina Atzeres, what we call Shemina Atzeres, was supposed to be I think maybe a couple of months later, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to be Matriach Bnei Yisrael to go Ola Regal again, so he made this connection, so we'll have it right after Hashanah Rabbah, right? So therefore, on Shmini Atzeres, it's a regal b'fnei atzman. Since it's Sveika D'Yomu, so some people eat in the sukkah. But we do make a new Shechiyanu. We put down this. We don't have it anymore. We don't use the Arba Minim because it's a regal b'fnei. The only thing is the Torah itself. So it's in a way, it's like Shavuos. Shavuos is also called Atzeres. Atzeres is called a culmination of the Yomim Neiroim, right? Of the Yomim, the same thing between Pesach and Shavuos. So that's the culmination of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satorah. So what is the connection between Shmini Atzeres, between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres? I mean, what does Simchas Torah have to do with Sukkos, right? So there's a Rambam. If you take a look at the, now I'm not an expert in the Rambam, so the Rambam has a question. It says, when we say Hallel, when we hold the Arba Minim together, right? So are we saying Hallel because we're holding the Esrig, the Arba Minim? Or because we're holding the Arba Minim, that's why we're saying Hallel? Which is, you know, what is the reason we're saying Hallel on during Sukkos? Is it because we're enhanced by the Arba Minim? They're very special to us, and that's why we say Hallel. Or so the way the Rambam wants to say, maybe we can say that there are two dinim in Hallel. Hallel is the yontif itself, but when it comes on Sukkos, when we hold the Arba Minim together, that enhances it, brings out the Hallel even more, right? So there's two ways to look at it. Is it we're saying Hallel because of the Arba Minim, or is it because we're holding the Arba Minim, now we can really say Hallel? So I think that is the point that the Rambam wants to make. And that is the point also that we can say the connection between Simchas Torah and Sukkos, even though it's called a regal in itself, a yontif in itself, is because what do we do on Sukkos? What does everybody do on Sukkos? Or Erev Sukkos? They go around looking for a lulav and esrog. When you look for an esrog, right? Everybody here went shopping for an esrog, right? So what do? You pick up the esrog, and you start examining it, right? What do you look for? You pick up an esrog. What do you look? You look at an esrog. What do you see? And everybody is so meticulous, right? A esrog can cost anywhere between $30 to $100, $200, you know, sky's the limit. So, but everybody wants a beautiful esrog within his capabilities of what he can afford. So the first year you examine the esrog and you look, you take a magnifying glass, make sure it's perfect, right? And same thing with Hadassim, you want the perfect Hadassim, perfect Aravas, you want a perfect Lulav, you want everything perfect, right? All of a sudden, everybody wants everything perfect, right? Imagine that. When you build a house, when you buy a suit, you know, this, of course you want nice things, right? This and that, right? But it comes to the Arba Minim, people want, I want it perfect, right? I want it the best possible I can. So the point is like this. When we look for the Arba Minim, you know what we look for? We want to see, we look, we examine HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. We examine His creation. Look, He made this Esrig. He wants us to use this Esrig. So therefore, I want it to be the best possible Esrig. I'm connecting myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that I don't do all year through this Esrig, through this Lulav, through the Arba Minim. So what I'm doing really is examining and taking a look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, His creation. And that is what Rosh Hashanah and the Yomim Neiroim is all about. Take a look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, for each and every one of us. He created this wonderful, beautiful world, right? And here, Sukkos, we have the opportunity to take the world through the Arba Minim, where we acquire the entire world. We use only four minim, right? But those four minim represents the entire Bria, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way. Rosh Hashanah, we're busy davening, we're worried about the Yom HaDin. We try to change, but we don't actually see, we don't concentrate on the creation of the world because we're too much involved in our personal the way we are on our Yom HaDin, we're being judged. So that's why we can't say Hallel. We don't say Hallel because we're not in the Simcha Dikamud. But it comes to Sukkos, Zman Simchas Seinu, we can relax. We actually can relax. Reb David Kronglis, that's all, said about the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, said a very interesting thing. You wouldn't think he would say something like that. You know, Mashgiach, Eretz Yisrael, Mirror, you know, he had a great... He said that he understands that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is something that, you know, people have to do a lot of concentration. And he said in Yiddish, if you know what in the good English word for it, he said, Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a maternish. You know what maternish is? You know, it means it's very bothersome. What does it mean, bothersome? It means that we have to concentrate on our davening. We daven more, we say slichas, we have to get up early. It's a toll on us, right? It's taxing on our body and our mind, physically, mentally, because we're worried about the whole future. I mean, Rahman al-Islam, we see what happens during the year. You have tragedies, you have this, and you have good things too. I don't say everything is, you know, you have wonderful things. People are born, you know, kids, mishaduchim. People have a lot of good things happen in the world, right? So that's what we're mispalel for. So that's what we want to concentrate. So, but it comes to Sukk, so we can't really concentrate b'simcha during a Sukk. So he said it's bothersome. But he also added one thing. He said, but once a year, we can be meiser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, daven a little longer, daven with more concentration, right? So the point is that Sukkot, we have the time to examine the Bria. We have the time to focus on the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created through the Dalet Minim. And once we do that, we understand what the purpose of the world is. The purpose of the world is to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do His mitzvahs, right? And the only way we can do that is through the Torah, right? That is our, so to speak, guide, right? That tells us what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And once we understand, we see that we can't do without the Torah, that in itself is a Simchas HaTorah. And that is the connection between Sukkos and Simchas Torah, that we should have it right away. Because it's through Sukkos, through the Arba Minim, we take a look at the creation through the Arba Minim. And that's why we have Simchas Torah right away. And that's why, like I said, so once we understand what the Bria is of, the creation is all about, then we can be Mesameach with the Torah, because then we really want to do the will of Hashem. That's called the Lev Shemeya, having a heart to listen, right? If a person has a heart to listen, then he can make a Siyam on Torah. He can go and be Mesameach with the Torah, and it's as if he finished the Torah, and that's what the connection between Simchas Torah and Sukkos is. So now, and of course, in Simchas Torah, what do? We start a new Sefer called Sefer Bereishis, right? The beginning. So it says, Bereishis Baruch Hu Elokeinu Melech Shamayim V'Ha Aretz, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And of course, certain things we just can't understand. So we have to learn face value the way that the Chumash says. What does it mean? We don't understand what Haisa Sov Avoha means. What it means, the world was void. We don't understand that. So we just don't delve into it. Certain things, our mind is not, it's not mindset. We can't understand, so we just go further, that's all, and accept what it says. Now, we have plenty of time. It says in each day's creation, here's very some interesting thing to note. It says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, right? It says Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, right? So it says so, for all 6 days, and then on the seventh day, by Yechul HaShemayim Baretz, we rest, right? So the question is like this. This is the Maral. The Maral says that wherever it says the word Vayehi, what does Vayehi mean? Vayehi means and there was, right? So whenever you say and there was, so prior to that, there must have been something else, right? So it says, it brings down the Gemara, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created other worlds before this world, and He didn't like them, so He destroyed them. So So the question is, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world that he didn't like and then destroy it and build a new one? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it right the first time also, right? So that doesn't make any sense to say, in that respect, that there were other worlds, he didn't like them and he destroyed them. So the Maral explains that what does it mean that there were other worlds? So it doesn't mean that there were actually other worlds. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. However, each day of creation was a different concept, a new level. For example, in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim and Aretz. So when he created the heaven and the earth, what else was there around? There was nothing else. That was the first thing that was created, okay? So if there's nothing else, there's no competition, right? So what is considered the most chashuv thing in the world at that time?
Shemayim
the Aretz, right? There's nothing else. That is the most chashuv. So now let's go to the next stage of creation. What happened after he created the by Yomer Elokim Yehi Or? It says it should be light, right? He created the Or. So after he created the light, so there was a new creation. Now he has light. So now it's not the Shemayim Ba'aretz that's around, that's by itself anymore. Now you got the Or. And then you had the waters, then you had the, what else did you have? You had the animals, you had the grass, right? So at each stage of creation, anytime there was a new stage of creation, the last thing that was created, that's considered the most important. Why? Because that's the most popular. Oh, we got something new, right? For example, let's say if you have in a shul, you have 20 balabatim. They come every single day, right? They're here all the time. And now a new couple moves into town. Oh, so everybody's happy. Wow, so everybody says hello to this new person. So he's considered now the most chashuv person, right? Even though he just got here, because it's something new. So when the animals were created, the animals were considered the most chashuv, even more than Shemayim Ba'aretz. Right? More than the heavens and earth. So when something loses its chashivus, it's as if it was destroyed. So that's what the Maral explains. That's what it means. It means when Hashem created the Shemayim Ba'aretz and then afterwards he created something else, so now it's not the Shemayim Ba'aretz around. It's not the only thing there, right? So it's as if, so they lost the popularity. It's as if they were destroyed, but they really weren't. So when the animals were created, so they were the most chashuv, until the Adam was created. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Adam was considered the most chashuv in the world, and everything else was like secondary. So the fact they were secondary was as if they were destroyed. Their popularity was destroyed, even though they were still very much with us. So now the Adam is considered the most chashuv. Now after the Adam, and this was so, and the Adam would remain the most important until Kabbalah Satorah, when we became a nation, Klal Yisrael. When we became a nation, Klal Yisrael, then the rest of the world was destroyed. What does that mean? They lost their chashivus. Not that they were literally destroyed, but they lost their importance. Because now Bnei Yisrael will always remain important. Did it ever occur to you, why is Har Sinai called Har Chorev? Chorev means destruction, right? Everyone following? Chorev means destruction. So why would you call Har Sinai destruction? Because when Bnei Yisrael became a nation, right, the rest of the world lost their chashivas. The Goyim lost, the nations of the world lost their chashivas. And it's as, when somebody loses chashivas, it's as if they were destroyed. And Bnei Yisrael will always be the most chashuv in the world. And that is why it says, and that is why it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created other worlds, but he didn't really literally create other worlds. It's just that all the earlier creations lost their chashivas to the ultimate creation, which is Klal Yisrael. Okay, we're following that, right? So now, we have an interesting thing. We all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first person. Who is the first person? What's his name? Adam HaRishon, right? Now, Adam Harishon had some children. Of course, he unfortunately ate from the Eitz Hadas, which he wasn't supposed to. He was coerced to eat it. His wife Chava talked him into it. And everything in the world changed, right? So...
There's one day that says that that what he ate was Esser.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No. That is right. That is correct. What?
I've
you heard that too.
That,
yes.
Yeah.
Most people say it's an apple. I don't know. He ate the apple.
Right.
We don't really know.
All right, but there are
It could have been.
Right. Right. That is true. Right. And it makes sense, you know why? Because when do we start Bereishis? Right after Sukkos, right? So, no?
Makes sense.
You agree or disagree?
Yeah.
So you see, it all falls into time-wise, right?
When he ate the asterisk, did he break the pitum? That's what I want.
Ah.
We don't know.
I imagine not. I know when I buy an esrog, I always buy one with a pitum.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good.
My father also did. That's most important.
Like this, you never have any questions, you know?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, but I do notice a lot, most people buy it without a pitum.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say most. I mean, I do see a lot of people. What?
I get it without a pitum.
Right. Some people don't want it.
They say the pitum is reverse, it's inside.
Uh-huh.
That's what they say.
Yeah, could be. It's possible, right. But some people who have small children would rather get one without a pitum because they don't have to worry about it. But I always got it with a pitum. So just be careful, that's all. All right, so you're right. So it might be an esrog that he ate.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... So what happened was, when he did eat from the Eitz Hadas, what happened? So they both saw who they were. They saw that they were naked, and so up to that point, it didn't bother them because they had no Yetzirah, they had no taiva, right? No desires. So they're on a higher level. And I always ask the question, if Adam and the Chava they would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. All right, here's the practical question: would we have clothes today? Would we wear clothing today?
Well, I understand that they had like there was a skin. The skin that we have now is not the skin that they had. They had an extra skin, an extra covering.
Covered
them. But then when they ate for the Eitz Hadas, then
they lost.
We acquired the skin that we have now.
Right. Okay, good. But let me ask you this. So is that what we would have today if we wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Hadas?
We have that's original skin that we had.
Okay, so you're saying we wouldn't need to go shopping for clothing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that what everybody agrees to? Huh? What do you think? You won't have any stores, no? What?
Well, we still have furniture.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there are still things that we would need,
Let's ask this. Okay, the isser of eating from the Eitz Hadas, was that supposed to be forever? Or just for a short while?
Well, that was just for until Shabbos.
There wasn't even that much time between when...
Right, the Isser was a short time.
Until the first Shabbos.
Right. That was supposed to be as soon as Shabbos, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So let's say if he would have waited to Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so You're absolutely right. I have an explanation about this concept with clothing. Okay, but I want everyone to look at Perek Beis Vayichula Shemayim with Kiddush. We'll make Kiddush. All right. Actually, the pasuk before Vayera Vayivoker Yom Hashishi. Okay, that's when we start Kiddush. That's right. That's the pasuk before. Yeah. You have it. Everybody has it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I'd like to say. So we all agree that the Eitz Hadas was a temporary thing, right? The Isser. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to serve it for our first, Adam Rishon's first Shabbos meal.
Right.
Great meal, right? So what I like to suggest, it says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, Yom Hashishi, right? You see the word Hashishi?
Hashishi.
Right. Now, if you take away the hay, I don't want to take away leave, it's just temporarily remove the hay and the yud. What do you have?
Shesh.
What does shesh mean?
It's a clothing. Shesh.
Shesh is fine linen. Fine linen. Right? That's it. Fine linen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have
silk.
Silk, linen. Something very fine. It was very good. Okay. Top quality. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, okay, listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have the special honor of dressing Adam and Chava, the Kavod Shabbos, and giving them the Eitz Hadas to eat,
right.
Suda Shabbos. And from that time on, they would always wear clothing.
Oh,
right. So you see? So we would not go around like animals, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're on a higher level. When there were just animals, no human beings, the animals were considered the most important because they were the last of the created. Whatever is last is always important. Akron, Akron, Chavav, right? So here, once the Adam was created, so he remained the most important. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have this special privilege. It's like so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father and mother, right? So what does a father and mother do? A mother enjoys dressing her daughter. Father likes to buy the son a suit, you know, sees him wearing a new suit, right? Even the mother, so the mother can help dress him too, right? Depends how old he is, right? So, but it's a certain pleasure, especially if you have a chasen and kala, right? So you see it's how much pleasure the mother takes in helping the kala get dressed, her daughter, right? And the same thing with the chasen. When the chasen was ready to go down to the chuppah, so the father puts on his kittel, whatever, you know, with the minig, right? And it's a certain, you feel in a certain accomplishment. It's a certain simcha that you can't take away. It's something that you have to experience. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have this experience of dressing Adam and Chava, what with sheish, right? And because Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, he took away that schus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a big thing to say, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He took away the pleasure from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of dressing the chasen and the kala, you know what I'm saying? So when we say, Vayera Vayivoker Yom Hashishi, right? This is what was supposed to be, right? Yom Hashishi, was supposed to dress him in sheish. But what did he do instead? Says Kosnus Or by Albishem. He took figs, right? If like a fig from a fig tree, whatever, right? And he clothed them up with that. But that's not sheish. That's not what he wanted to give him, right?
Kosnus Or is animal skin.
What's that called? Fig skin, whatever.
Or
means skin. Doesn't necessarily mean animal. I mean, it says Kosnus Or. It says it, so it's. I think the Midrashim say it was something, a fig leaf. Something like that, all right? But it wasn't sheish. Whatever it was, it wasn't the suit and the dress that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Adam and Chava, okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was deprived of this simcha. You understand? And that's a big thing to take away. Because Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, and he was so happy with it. So where do you go to? Can you imagine parents raising children, mm-hmm. right? And they want to set them up, you know, for the future, and sometimes you have kids that they don't behave right. They're not nice to their parents, right? Mm-hmm. So they take away that simcha. You know what I'm saying? And some of them run off, they get married, they don't call their parents to the wedding, they're this. It's terrible tragedy. You know, it you don't hear of it too many times, mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem, but it's a terrible thing to deprive parents of this simcha. Because they brought you into this world, they're a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right?
Yeah.
There's three shutfim in the world, the father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So here, Adam and Chava deprived HaKadosh Baruch Hu of this tremendous simcha, right? And when was the simcha revived? This we're talking about a chasana meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Friday night was supposed to be the chasana, the Suda's chasana, no? Because
right.
They got married, no?
Yeah.
Suda's chasana. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was deprived of this chasana. But when did he? It took 3,000 years later, thousands of years later, the Kabbalah Satorah,
mm-hmm.
and that's why Kabbalah Satorah is known as a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a marriage? It's a marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, right?
Yeah.
So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu had once again, he raised, elevated Klal Yisrael to the highest level, and he was able to dress them up with, it wasn't okay the same, we're not talking about Sheish, but it was a marriage that made HaKadosh Baruch Hu very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, so that was revived from the time of Adam Arishon until now. So he had to wait for this marriage, right? And so that's part of the problem that we have today. When we deprive our parents, when we deprive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the truth of the matter is, we all know we're depriving ourselves,
yeah.
right? We're cheating ourselves. Why would somebody want to cheat himself? I have to be silly, stupid, to cheat your own self, right? What are you going to do? You know, you're going to deprive yourself of, if somebody's giving you everything you need, right? So take it, right? Somebody gives you, take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you something, take it, right? So, like Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Shlomo HaMelech everything,
mm-hmm.
right? So you take it, right? So the idea is, we have to be careful. We shouldn't deprive this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's simcha. He gives us life, so we wanted that we should do mitzvahs. We should be mesameach, right? And that's what we just had. Zman Simchaseinu, right? And Zman Simchaseinu really doesn't end. Zman Simchaseinu is a revitalization of a whole year. We're supposed to be Mesameach Evdu As Hashem B'Simcha, a whole year, right? It's not just 7 days, right? It's supposed to be a whole year. But it takes Sukkos, it takes Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, to realize who we are. And this is who we are, right? We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, and we have no right to deprive HaKadosh Baruch Hu of his simcha towards us, right? And we do that. Through being mesameach with the Torah, that is the essence of simcha. Because what do? We say that we want a Kaddish Baruch Hu, just like said on Rosh Hashanah, we want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to be our melech, right? We want him to be our father, our mother, to lead us, right? So when we do that, we feel good about ourselves, right? When we do mitzvahs, we feel good about ourselves. So when we feel good about ourselves, it's like we're dressing ourselves up with the most beautiful begadim. Because when a person gets dressed up, right, he feels great. Ah, I got a new suit, got a new shirt, right?
Right.
Tie, hat, right? Expensive hat. Hats are getting more expensive, right? So people are misameach. They say, oh, you know, like they walk in the street like the. Like to say, you show everybody, oh, I feel so great, right? So when a person is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he does mitzvahs, He feels spiritually dressed because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if he spiritually dresses him with sheish. When a person learns Torah and he's so happy, you know what he should do? Go to the refrigerator, take out a bottle of wine and make Kiddush. You know? I feel, you know, he's mesamech, should feel happy. Right? That's the right? Sheish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dressing us with sheish, the finest linen. He gives us the finest opportunities so we should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we have to understand that whenever we feel good, spiritually good, it's because Hashem has dressed us with big day sheish, right? It makes us feel good. So that is the way it was supposed to be. That to answer the question is that even Bizman Hazet today, if Adam Arishan would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, right, we would have still worn clothing, right? The clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, it would be spiritual clothing. Even though, whichever way the world would go, I mean, the world would have been realized, we would have gotten the Torah right away, we would have been in an elevated state. But unfortunately, it did not happen, and we have to go through trials and tribulations. We have a golus, we had to go through the Mabul, which we'll talk about next week, right? And so now, Adar Marisha and Chava, they were sent out of Gan Eden, right? And he did Shuva for 130 years.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout these 130 years, Hashem was always with him. The word imach means, I am with you. See, when Bnei Yisrael does Averus, unfortunately, and we kind of, we further ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes closer to us. He himself, we don't see him, it's like Hester Panim, you know, he's hidden, but he's there. So, Imach has a mispar, a numerical value of 130. Huh. So Hashem was saying, the 130 years that he did Shuvah, Hashem was with him every step of the way. He didn't leave him alone. Just like he doesn't leave us alone either. And we should be very happy. Because the truth of the matter is, we human beings, even though we're Klal Yisrael, we learn Torah, we have to tell ourselves, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you must be with me every step of the way, because I can't trust myself.
So what was he doing?
I can't trust myself.
Well, for 130 years, what was Hashem doing with Adam Arishon?
I mean, he was helping him raise a family. You know, it was like he does
with
us today.
There was no family. He was divorced.
Who? He had children, no?
He had...
Kai and Hevel, no? He had probably other children, too, it's not mentioned,
sex.
Right? So,
Yeah, and also.
He was what?
And Shays.
And who? Right, yes,
and
right. Right. So, I mean, life went on, no? That generations continued, right?
Adam had... What? In the water or something for 130 years. He was... It was in a mikveh for 130.
Oh, I mean the different medrashim exactly what actually took place.
Right, that's what I heard.
But Adam Arishon lived for 930 years.
Right.
And he gave 70 years
to
David HaMelech. And that in itself is a whole our Torah itself. Yeah. Maybe another time we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So what the last few still have time. So I want to point something else out. Mm-hmm. So let's go. So now we're holding in the stage that he did Shuvah for 130 years. All right? So let's go a little further in the Chumash. Mm-hmm. So he had children, two sons we know of, right? Mm-hmm. One was called Kayan, and one was called Hevel, right? So the word Kayan, if you rearrange the letters, in the word Kayan, you have the word Naki. You know what Naki means? Naki means clean.
Clean.
The avoda of Kayan, when he was born, right, he was nobody had any complaints about him. He was a very nice boy, right? And he did his thing, whatever he was supposed to do, and Hevel did his things, right? So they both wanted to praise Hashem, and they both wanted to bring korbanos to Hashem, mm-hmm. right? And they did it each on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So Kayan, I guess for some reason, he made a mistake. What was his mistake? He offered HaKadosh Baruch Hu a carbon, but it was a secondary. type of carbon. It wasn't the best of the best, right? In the Gemara, in the Bava Kamma, the three types of fields, or three types of things, there's Igeus, Baininus, and Zeburius, right? Igeus is the best quality, Baininus is in between, Zeburius is the worst of the three.
Right.
It doesn't mean you can't use it, but it's not the best quality. So Kayan wanted to save some money, very bad cheshbon. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought him into this world. So what are you trying to save, right? So it was a bad cheshbon, made a mistake. Okay, some people do that. Some people don't want to spend money, too much money on mitzvahs. Okay, I'm not telling anyone to go overboard, right? You buy an esrig, right? People spent nice money on esrig. You had different price ranges. Okay, let's say from $30 to let's say $1,000, whatever the story is. Nobody expects anybody to spend so much money. But you, according to your capabilities, whatever you can handle, you should go for the best thing. Let's say you can only afford the best esrig you can afford is a $30 esrig. So that's where you should spend $30.
Right.
Right, that's right. That means, like for example, like I said, if you can afford a $30 esrog, don't buy a $20 esrog, right? Okay, buy a $30 esrog if you know you can afford it. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most beautiful esrog in the world, as far as you're concerned, okay? And that's the way it works, okay? So for some reason, Kayin bought a $20 esrog, okay? For that, right? He didn't give him such a, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected his carbon. And he accepted Hevel's carbon, and he got jealous, and unfortunately he killed him. Okay, so now, we have a thing like this. That's Aram Rishon called his two sons, called one Kayin and called one Hevel. What does Hevel mean?
It means garbage.
What does it mean?
Garbage.
Hey, what do you think Hevel means? What's Hevel?
Hevel in Marco Helles.
Yeah, okay. We're going to get to that in a second. What does Hevel mean? Hevel means worthless, useless, right? Did you ever hear any father calling his son Hevel? How is it Adam Rishon the first person to go and call his own son? Chashifan, Hevel. Worthless. Yikarish mo be Yisrael Hevel. Yeah, I never heard that.
Ikamod.
What?
There was a child called Ikamod.
Kavod?
Ikamod.
So, yeah, my question is, so Hevel means what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a father call his son Hevel? So the answer is, he wasn't out to insult him or anything or degrade him. To the contrary, he was being meshabeach him. How do you call a son Hevel, right? So Adam Rishon, who was given the chachma to name all the animals, he named each animal according to its aboda, so to speak, a lion, a tiger, whatever, right? So of course, when it comes to naming his own son, he wants to make sure it's the right name for the right aboda, why he was put in this world. So why was Hevel put into this world? Hevel had a very important job in this world. And what is his avoda? His avoda was to let the entire world, he's supposed to go around the whole world and let the whole world know that look at this beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Beautiful sky, right? Grass, ground, everything, animal, everything, us, right? But he let everyone know, if you can't bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your world, then your world is Hevel Havolim. It's useless, it's worthless. You take the most beautiful mountains. If you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those mountains, it's worthless. Right? Right. You're going to go to climb all these mountains, right? You go on vacation. And if you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, then it's worthless, it's useless. And that's the avoda of Hevel. And Hevel was supposed to go around the world and explain that to everyone. And if he would have lived, there would never ever be avodah zarah in the world. He would not allow it. So when Kayin killed Hevel, he destroyed that avodah. And that's why in the third generation of Enosh, right?
Wow,
of Adam HaRishon, Enosh, Avodah Zarah came, it came by accident, right? So that's what happened with the death of Hevel. And who revived it? Who is Machayim Mason Hevel? His Avodah, rather.
Moshe.
Was Shlomo HaMelech.
Oh.
Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles. And that's why we read Sukkos, we read Koheles, right?
Ah.
And what is the famous pasuk in Koheles? Hevel Havolam. You ask anybody who doesn't even know what Koheles is all about, they all know Hevel Havolam Hakol Hevel. Everybody knows that pasuk, right? So here Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, wanted to give him a blank check. And all the Shlomo HaMelech said, I don't want a blank check. I don't want no money. All I want is a lev shomeya. I want to have a heart to listen. And we explained earlier, if a person has a lev shomeya, he can make a siyum ha-Torah even though he didn't learn anything, right? That's the simchas ha-Torah that we have, that most of us don't finish the Torah, the whole Torah, right? But we still can be misameach the Torah, have a dance and have a kafas and have a suda after we finish the Torah, right? And why? Because if we have a lev shomeya, if we want to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to have a heart that listens, we want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we don't have that capability of finishing Kol HaTorah Kula, it's as if we have Rishus to make a Siyum HaTorah, even though we didn't finish it, right? So what happened is, so Shlomo HaMelech, right? Shlomo HaMelech ben David. So, how does Koheles start? First of all, how does Shlomo HaMelech call this world Hevel HaBolam? But Baruch Hu created a world, he says, right in the beginning, he doesn't waste any time. He gets right into it. He says, you know, this world, Kadosh Baruch Hu just gave me a blank check, offered me a blank check, right? What do I call Kadosh Baruch Hu's world? Hevel HaBolam, right? It's useless, it's worthless, it's nothing. How did I do that? How does somebody, Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech's son, right? Isn't that quite insulting? No, Chas V'Shalom. And first of all, why does it say Dibrei Koheles ben David, right? Your name is Shlomo, not Koheles, right? Why don't you get it right? Say Shlomo HaMelech. So the answer is that Shlomo HaMelech could not have built the Beis HaMikdash as Shlomo HaMelech. He had to change his name to Koheles. Why? Because even though it's a chashuv thing, he had a great father, David HaMelech, and he had to rely on David HaMelech's Mesorah, on the Torah that David HaMelech taught him. He had to rely on that. He couldn't go further without that. But once you gain the Torah that you learned from your father and your Rabbeim, you have to become your own man. You have to understand who you are. What is your responsibility, right? In other words, they shouldn't go around saying, well, here we go, Shlomo HaMelech, that David HaMelech's kid built the Beis HaMikdash. No, we can't have that. Right? That's not true, okay? Just can't have that. Shlomo HaMelech has to become his own man and be recognized by Klal Yisrael as a yachid, by a lomo. And therefore, he called himself Koheles. Koheles, the root word of Koheles is kohol, congregation. Right. He had to understand his achrayus, his responsibility toward the congregation. And therefore, he made this declaration, and he said, Ani Koheles. Now, don't look at me as Shlomo HaMelech, even though it's a great thing to have a father like David HaMelech, right? But you can't look at me as David HaMelech's kid anymore. I am Koheles. Ani Koheles. I am my own person, which I got the Mesorah from my father, and I wouldn't be my own person if it wouldn't be for David HaMelech, right? He taught me everything I need to know. Now, where did he get this line, Ani Koheles? Nice line, very dramatic, you know? He got it from Yosef HaTzadik. What did Yosef say when he was ready to reveal the brothers? He didn't say,
Ani Yosef.
He said, Ani Yosef. Yeah, right, very good. He said, yeah. Ani Yosef, but he didn't say, Ani Yosef, I'm your brother. He didn't mention anything about brother, right? Say, I'm your brother. Ani Yosef Achicha, right? I'm your brother. So Yosef wanted to let them know, the brothers let them know, I do not want you to look I don't want you to see me anymore as your kid brother, right? Even though I am your kid brother, I have the same father as you do, Yaakov Avinu, and I learned everything from Yaakov Avinu. He's my Mesorah, right? And I couldn't go further without this Mesorah. But today, I am Ani Yosef. You have to look at me as a new individual. I am the one that saved Klal Yisrael, and I was able to bring down my father and the Shivim Ish, right? And they prepared the rest of Klal Yisrael for the future Golus, the 210 years. If it wasn't for Yosef, and if it wasn't for Yaakov and the Shivim Ish, Bnei Yisrael could not have endured the 210 years as enslavement in Mitzrayim.
He had another name too, Tzafnas Paneah.
Tzafnas, right, right. Paro gave him that name.
Right. Yeah.
All right, but you know, we don't want to be Meshabeach Paro, right? So, but it was a nice compliment that he gave him. I'm not belittling it, right? And I'll bring you a raya. When two rayas, so okay, we're done with it, which is that we still have time. Mm-hmm. One raya is when Yisro came to be with Moshe, right? So he saw Moshe Rabbeinu answering questions all day, all night. And Yisro said, this is not a good idea. You're going to knock yourself out.
Right.
Right? So he said you should appoint people, the real big questions should come to you, right? So it sounded like a great idea, no? First of all, it's like a no-brainer, you know? Great idea. So he did that, right? Moshe Rabbeinu did that. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu was very angry at him. He said, you did not do good. Even though he wanted to give cover to his father-in-law, all right, so he accepted his idea. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, it's not a good idea. Why? Because when Klal Yisrael comes to you, you are the Messiah. They must hear it from you, right?
Right.
Everything. Even if they want to know what bracha you make on peanut chews, got to hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu, okay? That's the Messiah.
Right.
Now, later on, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know, Klal Yisrael, they're complaining about food. They want watermelon. They want this. They want that. I don't, you know, when it comes to spiritual zachen, I can handle everything. But when it comes to pickles, when it comes to watermelon, I can't handle it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I got a great idea for you. From now on, you know what you do? You have a Sanhedrin. You have other people from who well learned, they will handle the smaller kashas, and they'll come to you for the big kashas. Now, doesn't that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Yisro give that idea?
Yeah.
It's an old idea.
Yeah.
So how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is introducing this idea as a new idea? Because it's a new idea. Now he has rishus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to delegate authority. Okay. Once you have that rishus, it's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Then it's good. And we have a second case. The second case when the Malach, when the Sarshal Esav called Yaakov Yisrael, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So he gave him a name change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Yaakov was happy with it. A while back later, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? From now on, your name will be Yisrael.
Right.
So doesn't that sounds familiar, no? Same old story.
Right.
But it's not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that the Yaakov Avinu, who is the future of Klal Yisrael, should be named by a Sar Shel Esav. It's going to be through me. I'm going to name you the Sar. You know, I'm going to name you. Now you name Yisrael. So you see, everything has to be done through the Messiah. And that was Yosef HaTzadik. He understood.
What was the first example? Okay, that's the second one. The first one.
The first one, Yisrael suggested that he delegate authority.
Okay.
Hashem didn't like it. He said, You're the one, you're the Messiah, and you have to answer all
so
the questions.
So when was it good to delegate?
When HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave him Rishus.
When? With the judging?
A while later, yeah, right.
Well, on the same matter.
Right.
He agreed with
yes. Because, but he did it. He gave it to him, right? Right. So what do we see from all this? We see, so that's why it says, Ani Yosef, he said, I have the authority now. I'm the one that set up, right? So you have to look at me differently. And the same thing with Shlomo HaMelech. It says, Ani Koheles, right? You have to look at me differently. I'm not, you can't look, even though it's an honor to be to David HaMelech's son, but you can't look at me as a David HaMelech's son right now. You have to look at me as Koheles, Ani Koheles, right? So now, what did we just do? I'm going to just end off because we have Mincha. I just wanted to say, the message is, for all of us, we just went through the Yom Nayrayim, and we should keep the Yom Nayrayim with us a whole year. A whole year should be Dir Shashem B'Yimotzo, Kriya B'Sakarov. We should feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But coming through the Yom Nayrayim, we all of us had a name change, so to speak. We changed ourselves and we learned like was mentioned earlier, we examined the Esrig, so the Lulav, the Adasim, the Aravos, right? So what did we examine? We examined HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. We saw, what is this Bria, what is this creation all about? It's about us, about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we ourselves, after going through the Yom Nirayim, being the Sameach with the Torah, we all have a Lev Shemeah. We didn't finish the Torah, and actually we didn't finish the Torah, but we have a right to make a Siyam HaTorah because we all have that Lev Shemeah after all the days of the holy days, of the days of the Yom Nirayim that we went through. So all of us are Zeicha to a name change. We can say on ourselves, say whatever your name is, you can say Ani, your name, Ani this. Just like say, Ani Yosef, Ani Kohelis, and Ani, I'm a different person. I'm a changed person. I don't want you to look at me the way I was last year. I'm different. I'm a much elevated person. And as through that elevation, through that aliyah, of being able to say, Ani, whoever I am, right? That is going to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that we never have seen before. And it is through that connection we can talk to all B'Zeicha to the Gula Shlema of Meri Meinu.
Amen. Thank you, Scribe.
We're going to have a great Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis.